Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 8. We are talking in these days as we finish up a season starting in January. I don't know how we're already almost to June, but we're finishing up this week and next week this series called A New Season and a New Start. We've walked through seasons, we've walked through seeking, we've walked through serving, and this month we've talked about seeing God. And so this morning, I want you to take you to another passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 8. Now, this morning is going to be some teaching time, and then I'm going to try to make some practical applications as we walk. So there's a lot of background in this. And so, you know, one of the things that's hard sometimes as a Christian is as we read Scripture, we go to a point and we read a parable or we read an incident, but we get caught up in that and we don't see the bigger picture. And so, number one, as Jesus is speaking today in chapter 8, verse 18, he's speaking to, in 17 and 18, he's speaking to his innermost circle. And this is not the Sunday morning crowd. This is the Wednesday night crowd. These are those folks that are there, that are faithful. These are those men that have left everything to follow him. And they've walked through some crazy kind of stuff, and we'll walk through some of that in a minute. But in the midst of that, Jesus comes to them because of statements they've made, because of conversations they've had, and he says this. So if you found Mark chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, let me read that to you. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, and having ears ye hear not, and do ye not remember?" He's talking about Christians. He's talking about believers who, in the midst of everything that's going on, he looks at them and says this, "You see, but you don't see. You see, but you don't see. You can observe, but you don't perceive." And so we're going to walk. Let me kind of help walk through some of this. So we're going to try to do a geography lesson with no map. Okay? If you're familiar with the Holy Land where Jesus walked, the Sea of Galilee is up here at the top. And so when we get to chapter 7, verse 31 says this, "And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast to the Decapolis." Now, if you're familiar with the area of the Decapolis, do you remember what happened there? The demon-possessed man that was in the graveyard, that Jesus cast the demons out into the swine and they ran off the cliff. This east side of the Sea of Galilee is Hellenistic. It's Greek. It's not Jewish. How do we know that? Because they had pigs there. But there were 10 cities there called the Decapolis. And after this demon-possessed man was healed, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, you go back to those 10 cities and you share what's happened to you." So they leave over here on the Mediterranean Sea. And Tyre and Sidon is up here. They come around the very north side of the Sea of Galilee. And they're in this area of Grecians, of Greeks, of heathens, pagans, whatever you terminology. The Greek word is ethnos, the ethnic, the non-Jewish people. And while they're there, he goes through this time of healing and doing ministry there and having all kinds of things happening. And so we get to the beginning of chapter 8, verse 1 through 8, and an interesting scenario. He's not on the Jewish side. He's on the Grecian side, and he feeds 4,000 people. And at the end of it, again, the same scenario, you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Give them something. We don't have anything to give them except 5 loaves and 2 fishes. On this side, they had a few loaves. And Jesus does the same kind of miracle, but with only 4,000 people. And they gather up at the end. They have 7 baskets of food left. Now, hold on to the thought of the baskets, because that's going to become paramount in just a few minutes. But then, if you go down to verse 10, "And straightway after the feeding, they get on the ship and with his disciples, and they go back over across the sea to the area of Dalmanutha or Magdala." which is on the Jewish side. So now they've gone over to the Greek side. Now they go across the ocean back to the Jewish side, across the sea back to the Jewish side. And he has this encounter with the Pharisees. They said, "Give us a sign." Excuse me, I don't know where you guys have been for the last year and a half. Day after day, week after week, I've done all kinds of God-only ability kind of signs. And he has this encounter with them. And in verse 12, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign given to thee in this generation. Verse 13, and he left them, and what? Entered into the ship and departed to the other side. He goes back to the Greek side. Now, I don't know about you, if I'm one of the disciples having to row this stinking boat, I'm kind of getting weary. Okay, you just got here. We got to go home now. And so they go back to the other side. But it's interesting. And they left, they entered into the ship, departed again to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And then Jesus teaches them about taking heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And they said, is this because we only have a loaf of bread? And then Jesus in verse 17 says, what are you thinking about? Do you not understand? They missed the point. They missed the question. And they're struggling trying to understand what they ought to know. So let me just very quickly, we're going to walk through this. Let me tell you about the baskets because they become paramount. You remember the feeding of the 5,000 over here after they gathered up 12 baskets? Do you understand that the word basket in this chapter dealing with the Grecian side is a different word? Because on the Jewish side, they gathered up 12 baskets. In our terminology, we would call them picnic baskets. It was enough. Now, on the other side, they only gathered 7 baskets. But listen to me. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9, the Jews are after Paul, and they put him in a basket and lower him? That's these baskets. It's not a picnic basket. It's not a laundry basket. It's not a bushel basket. It is a huge basket that Paul could have gotten in. And so they put 7 baskets full of leftovers. Now, stay with me because this is important. What happens when bread comes in contact with non-Jewish stuff? It becomes unclean. Why did they only have one loaf? Immediately after this, they get and go back and get in with the Pharisees, immediately get back in the boat, and they only have one loaf of bread. What happened to the 7 baskets? They didn't take them with them. Why? They were unclean. We can't eat this bread. And so Jesus says, here's the thing you've got to know. Don't get caught up in the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod to simply say the leaven that's in the bread is caused, the bread that you're eating is caused by the baskets. If we go back, let me not run ahead. Let me save this because we'll come back to it. Do you understand this is important? That because of the bread in this basket over here is not the Jewish bread, by the time they get ready to come back, they don't have anything to eat. Verse 17 said, why reason ye? What are you what are you debating or disputing or consulting with each other about on all of this? So what was Jesus asking them? By the way, they didn't tell him. You understand? They didn't say, hey, Jesus, we're hungry. Can you like do what you did before? What are we going to do? We only have one loaf of bread. And Jesus scolds them, and they think it's because they only have one loaf of bread. What was he talking about? What was he hearing them talk about? Do you think it was simply because I'm so stinking tired of this? Can he just not make up his mind where we're supposed to be? Was it about somehow we've missed a concept of leaven that's not in place? Or whose fault is it that we only have one loaf of bread? If you'd have done your job, guess what? We'd have food to eat. But in the middle of all that, Jesus says this, "You perceive not." Perceive means to comprehend. Were they busy serving? They were absolutely busy serving. And Jesus said, in the middle of serving, you've got so caught up that you can't even perceive what I'm talking to you about. I wonder how many times in our churches today we get so busy in the work that we can't even perceive what Jesus is saying. And he says, now not only do you not perceive, but you don't understand. Listen, we will never understand what we first don't perceive. About perception is not my opinion. Perceiving has the concept of comprehending the truth. Do you understand? And because you haven't, your hearts are hardened. I love that Greek word. It means to be petrified. We have at our house some pieces of petrified trees. One of them is so big we can't hardly move it. But listen, it's a tree, but it's a rock. What happened to it? The life went out of it, and it was converted into simply something that has no value, except to kind of hold stuff in place if you needed something like that. But it says that they have, one of the versions says this, your hearts have become stupid or calloused. You have become incapable of reasoning. In the middle of rowing the boat, in the middle of feeding thousands, in the middle of picking up leftovers, in the middle of all we've done, you have so gotten so caught up in the stuff that you become incapable of perceiving, understanding, or reasoning. I love Chuck Swindoll. He says in this, he says, this is another one of those face plant moments of Jesus. Don't you get it? Can't you connect the dots? The clues make the conclusion self-evident. How can you fail to see it? So let me walk back. We're going to look at three things very quickly. Number one, here's the reasons. Number one, they were hardened by a lack of remembering Jesus' works. By the way, this is heart hardening 2.0. Look back with me at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 50. Mark chapter 6, verse 50. Guess what this is the end of? The feeding of the 5,000. In verse 50, and they saw him and were troubled immediately. He talked with them and said, be of good cheer. Because after the feeding, they get in the boat. He walks on the water. But look what it says. And he went up with them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. If the God who fed 5,000 could not come to them in a time of need, even in the middle of a storm, their hearts were hardened. They could not perceive. They could not comprehend. According to the text, they had gotten calloused or stupid in their faith. They were hardened by a lack of remembering Jesus' works. Had Jesus not done something like that before? Had he had not fed them before? Had he not worked miracles before? Had he not just before this healed a mute man? Had he not done all these kinds of things? And yet when the crisis came, they were more worried about having a loaf of bread than the fact that they had the bread of life. Number two, they were hardened by a lack of remembering Jesus' words. By a lack of hearing and understanding and remembering Jesus' words. Okay, jump to Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 19. Mark 7, 14 through 19. In the midst of that, he's dealing with the Pharisees. By the way, whose leaven were they to be aware of? The Pharisees. In chapter 7, he's dealing with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are bringing these trick questions to him. And he walks through all of that. Then he gets down to verse 14. And here's what he says. And then he called all the people to him and said this, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. comprehend and understand what I'm about to say to you. There is nothing from without a man that enters into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. What is he saying to him in common language? It's not what you eat that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart. Are you so hardened in your heart you don't remember what I told you? Wait, we haven't had Paul's letting down of the picnic blanket with all the food in it. But Jesus has said to them at this point, listen, it doesn't matter if the bread came from the Greek side or if the bread came from the Jewish side. If I've said it's okay, you can eat it. They lost not only, they didn't remember his works, they didn't remember his words. And then the last thing is, they didn't remember his will. They were hardened by a lack of remembering Jesus' will. Jump back to chapter 8, verse 13. After all this, and after he left them, the Pharisees, now they're back on the Jewish side, fixing to head back over to the Greek side. He said, and entering into the boat, to the ship, again departed to the other side. Jesus said, guys, I've dealt with this. Now it's time to go back. And what did they do? They got in the boat and they went with him. Why am I in this situation? Why am I here right now? It's first because this. Jesus said, get in the boat. Get in the boat. Well, now, you know, if so-and-so would have just brought enough bread, we wouldn't be hungry on the way back. Their hearts were hardened by a lack of remembering Jesus' works, his words, and his will. So what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? What's the lesson from this for us? If you are born again, you are called to be a disciple of Christ. We are to do what Christ tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, and how he tells us to do it. And in the context of that, in a corporate setting, it's called being the church. So I'm talking to the church, to the disciples this morning. And here's what I said. Are we not the same? Do we not get caught up in the cares of bread and Pharisees and we don't remember the works of Jesus? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, one of the things as we go forward into this next season is we're going to remember what God's done in the past. We're sitting here on the shoulders of 30-something years almost of people who have come before you. If it weren't for them being faithful, we wouldn't be here. I'm not talking about 30 years ago. I'm talking about 2 weeks ago. What did Jesus do 2 weeks ago for you? The works that he's done to protect you, to provide for you. I'll be honest with you. When you get to heaven, all the things that you think you're going to remember to thank him for, there's going to be a list a mile and a half long of things you never knew that he did on your behalf until you get there to say thank you to him. The works of Jesus. We can't get caught up in all the bread and the Pharisees. We have to keep focused on Jesus, the works of Jesus. As a church, as an individual, as a family. Well, you don't know how hard it was. You don't know how I'm so tired of rowing Jesus. Row. Be faithful. But see, because they were faithful, they saw Jesus heal a demon-possessed man that had a legion of demons in him that nobody could even heal. They saw him heal a man who was blind and mute and deaf, and nobody else could do it, and he did it. They saw him walk on the water. Why? Because they were faithful in the works. I'm going to tell you, if we think that the works of Jesus are done, we ain't seen nothing yet. Just be faithful. Just serve. Just not get caught up in the stuff, in the leaven. Well, you know, our church has never done that before. Our church, now stay with me. I'm not saying we can do whatever we want to do. The only way the disciples were blessed is when they were walking in the will of God. You see, Peter looked at Jesus and said, dude, you're not going to die. I have a plan. A disciple. The rock. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You think he doesn't say that to churches and people today? You get out on your own. You make your own plans. You go your own way. Hey, we're doing this because we love Jesus. We're doing this because we want to serve. And the truth is this. He's saying, you are so far out of my will, you're not a blessing, you're a hindrance. Get behind me. We're caught up in the cares of bread and Pharisees, and we forget the works. The second thing is, we get so overwhelmed by the cares and the Pharisees, by the cares of bread and Pharisees, we don't remember the words of Jesus. I told you last week, trying to see Jesus in a tortilla or a cloud formation or all those kinds of things. Listen, as a believer, I don't have to look at any of those things to be able to have a relationship with Him. What has He said to you? What promises are we living in that Jesus, the words of Jesus, that we need to be reminded of? It's this. There's nothing too hard. Let me rephrase that. There's nothing too hard for Him. Well, God will never put me through anything I can't handle. I will tell you, He certainly will if all you've got to handle it with is yourself. But in Christ, He can help me walk through the hardest, most difficult times. Historically, this church has been at some of those places. The church didn't have a clue how they were going to manage to get beyond where they were, even the next week without the bank coming in and foreclosing on the loan. But because of the faithfulness, because the Bible that says this, Jesus said, this is the rock on which I will build my church, not Peter, him. And upon this rock I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. Do you not believe in 30-something years that the gates of hell have not tried to prevail against this church? Do you not think in the future it will not try to prevail against this church? But I will tell you, when we live on the words of Jesus, when we walk in the words of Jesus, when we walk in the promises of the words of Jesus, we can go forward, as Paul said, pressing on to the mark of the high calling. We've not got there yet. But not only can we get caught up in the cares of bread and Pharisees, we get caught overwhelmed by the cares of the bread and Pharisees, we also get hardened and calloused. Time out. I love this weather. We get so hardened and calloused by the cares of the bread and the Pharisees that we don't remember the will of Jesus. Why are we here? See, I think one of the problems of a lot of churches is we forget Jesus' will. We get caught up in our plans, our will. This week, one of the guys in the network that I lead called me. He had gotten a note. Some of you have never had that circumstance happen in a church, but many of us have. We got a note that simply said, I would never gossip, but let me tell you what somebody else said. Had a family leaving his church because he hadn't been to see them. Hadn't spent enough time going and hanging out with them. And so he said, what do I do? I said, look, number one, you reach out to that family. And he sent me this beautiful letter. Listen, in the world we live in today, it's very uncommon for folks to just show up at your front door. Because most of you wouldn't open the door if they did. He said, he went through all this, and he got a letter back. He sent it to me this morning. He said, whoever told you that we were leaving because you hadn't come to see us, would you tell them they're a moron? And I said, Matthew, read that letter from the pulpit today. Yeah. Why? Because we need to understand that we're standing on the will of God, and that's to be the church of God in the place He's called us. What if we don't see the results that we're expecting? The results are not up to us. They're up to Him. And the results will always be there, even if we don't see them, until we get to heaven. See, yesterday afternoon, while we were sitting out here praying the rain would stay away under the tents, Joe and Jacob and I were there, and we started saying this, okay, Joe, you have the red vehicles. Dennis, you have the blue vehicles. And Jacob, you have all the white vehicles. But as they go by, just pray for them. So I'm like every fifth or sixth car, bless you. Joe's like every sixth or eighth car, bless you. And Jacob's like, oh, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. But we have no idea what those prayers, what they did. You see, next week, let me do this. I'm so thrilled about next week. Next week, we're going to talk about how will they know if we don't go. What we're going to be focusing on, listen, everything we've done since January through May has been to prepare us, to get us ready, to get us situated. As we've prayed, as we've walked through, as we've planned, as we've done all those kinds of things, I think God has made it really, really clear for the church at 242 going into the rest of this year, some of the things He wants to do in this church. And we're going to lay some of that out next week. But in the midst of that, that will only happen if we stay faithful to the words, the works, and the will of Jesus. The last thing I want Jesus to do is look at church at 242 and simply say this: you have eyes, but you see not. Seeing God. And then, by the way, 19 through 21, we're not going to go there. But then he goes back and says, okay, because you've gotten stupid in your faith, he didn't say that, but that's the implication, let me just remind you of who I am. Let me just remind you of what I've done. Let me remind you of who I am and what I've done and what you can count on. The days to come, we're going to see God do some amazing things. We're not going to break all that down today, but I'm going to tell you next Sunday, let me just throw this in. If you haven't picked up a copy yet, out on the table is the agreement that we will vote on next week in our partnership with the Hispanic pastor as they start working to plant a Hispanic language church. We'll break that down next week. First of all, let me clarify this. His funding is 100% provided by the North American Mission Board. It will not cost us a dime for him to be here to plant a new church that we can partner with. If things work well, next Sunday we will introduce him going forward. If things work well, next Sunday we will introduce Danielle Crawley, who we've interviewed, we've talked with about coming alongside, and we've already approved this to work as an intern this summer, to help with our children, to help with our youth, to be here to be an extra set of hands, a fresh set of eyes. Why? Because as we go forward, it's going to take more than what we have right now. But we've got to be willing to say, God, I'm going to follow. I can't help it. Sometimes it just comes out. I'm going to follow your works. I'm going to follow your words. I'm going to follow your will. And what that looks like. I believe with all my heart, if we will be obedient, we will be able to see him clearly in the days to come. That's the message this morning. That's the challenge this morning. As we go forward, how will they know if we don't go? I'm so excited about what's going on. I'm thrilled about what's going on. Listen, we had a great day yesterday in spite of the rain. This coming up in the next few weeks, the soccer thing that we're going to do, we've got a church from Kuntz coming, First Baptist Church Kuntz, coming to bring a team. We've got the Spanish pastor coming. We've got a soccer coach who will be here. We've laid out what the games will look like. This week, here's my challenge. On social media, on your whatever it is, begin to post the logo. If you don't have a copy of it, go to Facebook, pull it up. Begin to invite folks to come. We're going to try to go over to the pool at Glen Eagles and put up a flyer in some other places to simply say, we want you to bring your children onto the campus. Now, let me say this. We cannot do 50 children with 6 adults. We need 2 adults that can sit at a table out here and register children when they come and register the parents when they come. We need some folks that can sit in here to help make sure that the restrooms will be open, but the worship center is not open. To be the hall monitors. We need folks that can help us hand out prizes. We need folks that can help corral children. Now, the other church is bringing some folks as well. But we need to do with excellence this event to help us connect with folks. We've already had at least 2 families say, hey, my kids are coming. Why? Because we're going to follow the words, the works, and the will of Jesus as the church at 242. Amen? Let me pray this morning. God, in this place, as we walk, as we worship, as we do the things we do, let us not worry about a loaf of bread. Let us not worry about where it came from. Let us not worry about what we don't have. But let us trust your provision. I'm convinced, God, you're going to bring us everything we need to be the church we're supposed to be. And the church we're supposed to be, in many ways, will not be like anything we've been before. Not that we'll lose our heritage, but that we will work on a legacy. And what that legacy will look like will be based upon what we look like as we look like you. God, right now, my heart's cry for this church is that people would simply, even this morning, sit and say, God, I've gotten sidetracked. I've let the loaves and the Pharisees and the leaven and the work and the lack of faith and the failure of others that has just, man, I'm just this morning understanding that that's not what's important, but it's me serving you. And that may mean, God, that I simply say, Lord, forgive me for my distractions. Forgive me for my lack of perception, my lack of understanding, my lack of willingness. And God, if my job is simply to row, then let me row for you. Whatever that looks like this morning, God. If there's folks here who may not be saved, I pray today that they would begin to hear and understand how great a love you have for them. That they would begin to say, God, I'm tired of the Pharisees, I'm tired of the limitations that the traditions of man and all of the religious stuff that's mandated that hinders my relationship with you. I just ask for a fresh touch, a fresh walk, a fresh passion for you. God, whatever you want to do this morning, we simply say, let us get out of the way. Let us not be a hindrance. But I pray people would respond to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.